Eternal God, we are grateful for the privilege of gathering here unto you. We thank you for the access to your throne through the shed blood at Calvary. We thank you for the ways in which you've been ministering to us in the course of this service today. We're grateful, Jehovah God, for the words you have spoken to us already, for the work of healing, cleansing that you have done in our midst here already. Lord, this is the hour of your word. And the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Grant to everyone here a word to live by. Break your bread of life this morning and grant to each and every one a portion to share. I ask, dear God, for a divine addition to each and every life. I pray, mighty Father, that you will grant us a glorious ending to this weekend of emphasis on making disciples of all nations. That each and every one of us will come alive in our role, will come alive in our specific calling to making disciples of all nations. Ask that the Spirit of God will yet brood upon this gathering this morning. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Walk in our midst this morning and bring each and every one to an experience of your life, to an experience of your power. Help everyone to hear what you are saying and help our understanding about what you are saying and help our response to your word. Grant that there will be a wholehearted response to the word of God. Thank you, mighty God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's my joy and pleasure to welcome you to church this morning. I want to again appreciate the chaplain in charge, all the chaplain, the entire leadership of this Chapel of His Resurrection. I want to announce to those of us who are just here today, you possibly were not around on Friday and Saturday, and you're just here for the service this morning. We'd like to encourage you to endeavor to get a copy of the tape, especially the leadership session yesterday. I think it's something worth a reflection on. And virtually everything from Friday, I learned yesterday that all the messages are also uploaded on the church website. Amazing. So you have access to it. I'd like to encourage you to please take out time to check that up and maximize the blessing that God intends for you in that. Hallelujah. In 1,600 years of Islam, Islam has won the affection of about 20% of the entire world in 1,600 years of Islam. It has won the affection of about 20% of the entire world and still advancing and advancing forcefully. In 2,000 years plus, that the mandate to make disciples has been handed over to us. It is surprising that the church is not disturbed at the state in which we are in the fulfillment of this mandate. It is surprising that we are not offended. We are not infuriated. That in over 2,000 years of the delivery of this mandate to us, there is no indigenous church in the culture of 6,800 people groups on earth, out of which 81 of them are with us here in Nigeria. That should disturb the church. That Jesus Christ has not been honored well enough on earth. The reason for which he died and paid the supreme price on the cross of Calvary is still waiting for fulfillment should get us to be restless. There should be a restlessness in the church that the mandate handed over to us to make disciples of all nations is being handled with, is it kid gloves, you call it? Looking at the Nigerian church, there is no basis to have a church so large as we have in Nigeria. There is no basis to have a church so big, so loud and noisy, yet the word is not reached. Churches are full, but laborers are few. God has been emphasizing to us over this weekend the fact that you are made for his mission. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruits, fruits that will abide." We have seen in the course of our sharing that man is lost and needing a rescue, and that God has a world rescue plan and has a space for you in that world rescue plan of his. That God desires for you to be a member of his world rescue force. That each and everyone, not just our clergy, not just the outreach team, but every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have tasted the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, there is a space for you on the world rescue force. You have a space, people of God. We used to sing, "God's got an army that is marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, healing in their wings. Everlasting joy with gladness in their heart. In this army, I've got what? In this army, I've got what?" Brothers and sisters, you have a part in the army of God. Coming to church, being a Christian, is not just to come and feel good. It is to come alive to the purpose of God for your life. There is a purpose to be fulfilled. There is a purpose waiting for fulfillment on each and every life. And beloved, we can no longer wait. Too much is at stake. And the Lord will have us
to wake up from sleep.
The Bible says the time is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us put aside the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk as people in the day. Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me while it is day." He said, "The night comes when no man can walk." People of God, the night is fast approaching. Doors that were previously open are now being shut right in front of our eyes. Places we could go to before to plant churches, to witness, have become overtaken by terrorists. The people we're supposed to reach are scattered. Those who have not been killed are in different situations, and we don't even have ready access to them. The night is fast approaching. How can we explain that in some of our mega cities, we have mega churches filled to capacity, running 3 to 4 services on a Sunday, and yet the world is looking for the church? Our values are missing in society. We are many, we have a name that we exist, but we do not exist in the values of the kingdom of God that should announce our presence. What is the justification that we have met Christ? What is the justification that we bear the name Christians if we cannot exhibit the values of the kingdom of God? Our values are missing, people of God. And we need to check ourselves to be indeed who we are meant to be. Amen. I visited Rodemian and Engineer Ugo, helped us last night to visit architect Azike Diribe, who has been a beloved uncle, and we had a conversation in his house about the state of the church. And it boiled down to this issue of values. How can we be this many in Nigeria? I want to announce to you that globally, Africa has the largest population of evangelical Christians. And we have 180 million evangelical Christians in Africa. We are ahead of every other continent. And the bulk of these are in the south of the Sahara. And Nigeria is the hub. We are the hub for that great population. How much of this is showing in our society, in the way our society is run? How are you standing up for who you are? Since 2005, NEMA launched a project called Vision 5015. It seeks to mobilize 50,000 great commissioners, 50,000 great commission Christians, at least, train, send and support 15,000 of them for placement in some 34 Islamic dominated countries, beginning with the north of Nigeria, into gateway cities to North Africa, the Sudan, the Chad, and the rest, into the Horn of Africa, Djibouti, Ethiopia, and Eritrea, and the rest of them, into North Africa, the Libya, the Morocco, the Tunisia, and the rest, into the Arabian Peninsula, and back to Jerusalem. There are 34 such countries that are heavily Islamic. And the plan had been that, can this be part of the contribution of the Nigerian church towards making disciples of all nations? We gathered some church leaders and a variety of mission leaders across the country to deliberate on this, and that idea was passed. Sense of ownership within the church has been so weak, and because of the weak funding base for NEMA too, some of the things we are supposed to do in promotion has not been there. NEMA is a service arm to the church, a non-denominational and interdenominational mission association serving the Nigerian church to ensure the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We are nowhere near where we should be after this is the ninth year of that vision. We are nowhere. It is not that we don't have the people. It is not that we don't have the resources to support them. But our priorities are not just that. When we look at the complacency of many of our members in the church today, you wonder what has happened to our zeal for the Lord and His work. And I was asking God, how can the flame of evangelistic zeal and godly passion that worked through the men and women of the church missionary society that birthed the Church of Nigeria Anglican Communion, how can that sense of godly passion that gripped them, that drove them to pay the price, to trailblaze our country and ensure the planting of churches that later on became what we have? Go and read about Bishop Ajayi Crowder. History is what is done in the past that should make us wise for the future. Fortunately, we do not learn from history. We need to recover the daring vision. We need to recover the sacrifice, the commitment of those pioneers. Beloved, if we are going to make a profound impact on this generation, we need a far more compelling sense of urgency than we presently evidence. We need to recover an intense love for Jesus and the people for whom He died. Examine your heart. How deep and warm is your heart towards Christ and the people for whom He died? Turn with me to John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. If somebody is there, he can read. He or she can read.
John 4, verse 34. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. The disciples earlier on had said, it will take 4 months before harvest comes. But Jesus Christ took a look at the same field that the disciples had earlier looked on and said it would take 4 months and said, no, the field is white, all ready for harvest. Perhaps the disciples looked from the perspective of time. And perhaps Jesus looked from the perspective of eternity. It matters how we look. It matters what we see. When Apostle Michael Maddy was talking yesterday, he talked about having harvest eyes. He talked about having harvest eyes. Amen? It's important, people of God, to actually take a look. Jesus Christ said, lift up your eyes. And beloved, we actually need to lift up our eyes and actually look from the perspective of Jesus. And look at our field. Look at the campus. The campus is a field. Look at the marketplace. The marketplace is a field. Look at our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is a field. We need to lift our eyes and look at the field. God is passionate. God is passionate that the people who are yet to experience His forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who are yet to experience the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, can come to the experience of it. And God wants you to share that passion of His heart. Oftentimes, we are not there. We know about it, but it doesn't quite hit us. It's not quite so much part of our drive. It is wrong for it to be so. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look at the field. We need to look at the field in our offices. We need to look at the field in our local communities, in our rural communities, the field in the cities, the field in the rural communities. We need to see people as eternal souls, soon to be eternally lost or saved, depending on what we do and how early, how urgent we do it. We need to see people as eternal souls. And do you know what, beloved? Satan is looking for a shortcut to eternal perdition for every soul under his control. He's working hard to just end the story so that they will be eternally his in the lake of fire. That is why God has a world rescue plan and has a place for you on his world rescue plan. God has a place for you as a member of his world rescue force. And beloved, you need to take your place in the army of God. You need to take your place in the army of God. And that is each and every one of us. No one is too small to contribute in our battle against the kingdom of darkness. And no one is too old. No one is too young. Our young people, our children, can actually be taught. I gave out a pamphlet yesterday. You know, kids, world prayer map. Please, parents, don't let them open that thing, feel good about it, and tear it. Try to get them around it. It's how kids can pray for the world. point them to those places. Look at what's going on in Ukraine, in Syria, in Yemen. Look at several trouble spots across the world. Look at our own dear nation and what's going on in the northeast of our country. I serve among the mission community and I receive reports every now and then of what's going on. We have to keep thinking of how to respond to this emergency, that emergency. There is a lot going on. And beloved, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. And I want to encourage us as a church community this morning that each one of us need to respond to Jesus' admonition to lift up our eyes and take a second look at the field. You need to take a second look at the field where God has placed you. There are opportunities there that you have not annexed, waiting. There is the world out there hungry and thirsty for a relationship with God. There are thousands of people who fear to die the way they are. They know they are not good. They know they don't measure up. But they don't know what else to do. They don't know the way out of the mess in which they have found themselves. And that is why God has given us. The Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, choir. They reminded us we are ambassadors. Amen. That's true. That's who we are. Are we living like that? Are we living true to our calling in Christ? This weekend is packaged to awake us to responsibility as far as our ambassadorial calling is concerned in relation to lost souls. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38.
Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Amen. In that passage, we see a compassionate Savior. The picture of a compassionate Savior and a distressed world. A world in distress. Jesus Christ saw the crowd. Again, I want to say it's important to see the crowd of eternal souls that are plying our streets. It's important to see them for who they are from the standpoint of Scripture. It's important to see them. And you see three different set of they were described, that crowd in that passage were described in three ways. They fainted and they were aroused. A fainting and an aroused crowd. A fainting and an aroused crowd. It gives a picture of a world in need. A scattered crowd. He said he saw them, they were scattered. And it gives a picture of a world in confusion. Just turn on Al Jazeera, CNN, and look at a world in need. A world in confusion. As sheep without a shepherd. A world in need of direction. We went to a village to preach the good news somewhere, and we saw young people, teenagers and youths, fly the poles of their shirt, and we are just moving forward, bouncing, forward and backward. I was just wondering, where are they going to? They're just going forward and they're going back, and it's just a picture of a world that is needing direction. You go somewhere, gather there, they come back and they're just panting around. We corner them in one place to try to engage them with the gospel. We see a world in distress. We see a world in confusion. We see a world in need. Scattered. We see a shepherdless crowd, a world without direction. God told Joshua in chapter 13, verse 1, that you are old and stricken in age, but there are yet many land to be possessed. Reminded him, there are yet many land to be possessed. And I want to submit to us, church, this morning, that there are yet many nations that do not still have the witness of the gospel of Christ in their midst. And they are our responsibility. They are our responsibility. The arrangement, you are the arrangement God has made for those nations. I am part of the arrangement God has made. You are part of the arrangement God has made. How are you going to come alive to your role in ensuring the discipleship of the remaining nations? The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. About 4.3 billion people in the world today are at the risk of a Christless eternity. Unless we make significant changes in our evangelism and church planting drive, they are doomed. They are headed towards an eternity of doom. And God is saying, something needs to change about your output in this effort. Something needs to change about your output, your contribution to this global endeavor of God. About 84% of people who come to faith in Christ do so between the ages of 4 and 18. About 84% of those who come to faith in Christ do so between the ages of 4 and 18. That says something. that children and teenagers are the most fertile mission field in the world. The most fertile. That if we focus our effort at them, if we occupy our priestly position, as Apostle Michael Mardy made us to recognize yesterday, if we get trained in effective strategies to communicate the truth of God to them, we are bound to experience a significant harvest among them. It's an urgent need to maximize the opportunities of this age bracket for the kingdom of God. Millions are at the threshold of crossing this age of opportunity. What is our strategy at reaching children, at reaching teenagers? That is a strategic group that we need to review our evangelistic strategy. We need to look at how what we are doing and how we are doing it. Maybe that is an area God is calling you to. Don't despise it. Children have been the great omission in the Great Commission. But thank God that God is refocusing the church to recognize that children have capacity to grow in grace just like adults have. The commission to make disciples of all nations includes children. When Jesus said, "Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature," that also includes children. Oftentimes, we have just managed to keep them busy with sweets and, just some toys. We just keep them busy, you know, while we do serious things and get busy with the real people. No, we need to have a change of mind. They are part of the harvest. They are part of the waiting harvest. Amen. And our failure in their midst has been responsible for the problems we are having even with the adult group. So may I please encourage our children workers, teenage workers, those of you who are working with this age group, you are doing a great work. When Sambalat and Tobiah were going to distract Nehemiah, he told them, no, I am doing a great work. Please recognize that you are not just, you know, occupying space and keeping some people quiet, but you are doing ministry. You are doing a great work. And may the Lord encourage you in Jesus' name. Maybe God is touching some people to join that team. The harvest among children and young people is plenteous, but the laborers are few. They need more hands. Maybe that is what the Spirit of God is impressing on your heart. Don't wish it away. Make yourself available for what God wants to do through your life. Amen. This mandate to make disciples of all nations is critical because the time is short. Can you say with me, the time is short? Remind somebody near you that the time is really short.
First Corinthians 7:29-31. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Those who mourn, as if they did not. those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away.
Hallelujah. Revelation 14, 14 to 15.
Revelation 14, verse 14. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe."
Beloved, the Bible says, "Throw in your sickle and reap, for the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." Throw in your sickle and reap. The time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This I say, that the time is short. Those who use this world as not abusing it, because the fashion of this world passes away. What have been a distraction to you from responding to this call of heaven upon your life for active engagement in the mission of the kingdom? What has been a distraction to you? What is it that you must lay aside in order that your life may be more fruitful in the fulfillment of the mission of God? The need is urgent and time is short. This life is not a permanent arrangement. Our days are numbered. Riyad Bonke said, "The gospel is eternal, but we do not have eternity to preach it." Are you there? The gospel is eternal, but we don't have eternity to preach it. We have but a limited time to fulfill this mandate given to us. It is not a suggestion for our consideration. It is a command for our obedience. We need to engage in a daily march for souls. In what? A daily march for souls. That is what is needed. God's plan to save the lost in your neighborhood is limited to you. God's plan to save the lost in your school is limited to you. You are the choice of God. You are the plan of God for the lost people in your marketplace, in your offices, in your neighborhood, in your city, and in the unreached communities of the world. You are His choice. In Acts chapter 5, from verse 4, we see an example of what the early church did. Let's look at it. How are we to respond to this issue as we begin to wrap up this weekend of emphasis? Acts of the Apostles 5:42. It says, "And daily in the temple." Everybody say daily. See, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily. That's why I said the response needed is a daily march for souls. Daily in your offices, daily in your schools, daily in your neighborhood, daily in the marketplace. Let us be like these apostles who cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our gospel. Amen. And we have been given an invitation to proclaim him. Paul says, whom we preach is him that we preach. It's a warning every man. It's his teaching every man. In all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The same Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 46 and 47 says the same thing. It says, and they continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church how? The Lord added to the church how? Daily such as will be saved. If our obedience is daily, God will bless our obedience on a daily basis. Are you there? These people went preaching daily, and the Bible says God added to them daily. We need to do away with spectator concept. You are just not in church. You see, there are people who are in church for what to get. Bless me, Christians. They are just in church so that God can bless them all. Amen. You know what? God is a blesser. He's a great blesser. And he will bless. Amen. The Bible says, in his right hands are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says, in his presence we have fullness of joy. God, if you are here this morning, you are a candidate for his blessing. Hallelujah. And you will not go out the way you came, but you will go out with an evidence of the blessing of God in Jesus' name. May I announce to you, people of God, that our being in church is more than to receive blessing. It's much more than that. God wants your life to count in something eternal. God wants your life to be part of a larger picture of what he is about. God is about something in the world. And friends, let us line up behind what God is about. God is about rescuing the perishing, and he wants you to join in that business of his kingdom. We need to do away with spectator concept. We need to step out of the company of believers who exhibit serious indifference to the eternal destiny of lost souls. There are people in church, and I hope you are not one of them, who exhibit serious indifference. They are just there for their own sake. Please, leave me alone. I have enough things to carry. What are you carrying? He has carried it for you. He wants you to come and lay it down. He said, my yoke is easy. Jesus Christ came and spoke. And said, come unto me, all you that are what? That labor. I'm not hearing very well, Pastor. That are burdened, heavy laden. Thank you, please. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and what, please? And labor. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Friends, there is a rest with Jesus. Rest from your burden. And if you're in church this morning, please know it, that Jesus is interested in your burden. He wants to exchange that for a rest for you. Who is that musician that sang, Exchange My Sorrow? Sir? Yes, I'm trading my sorrow. Okay, women of faith. See, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my what? What are the other things? I'm trading my pains. My shame, hallelujah. I'm trading my shame for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't use the excuse that, I'm carrying enough. You don't even need to carry it. Trade what you are carrying for the joy of the Lord. And take on his yoke. Since my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So we need to step out of that company. If you have been in the company of people who exhibit serious indifference to the eternal destiny of the lost, you need to step out of that company today. You need to draw the line. You are done with that group. People who are in church solely for what to get, solely concerned about their own issues, their own needs, and not engaged with God's agenda to save the lost. I want you to know, beloved, that making disciples of all nations is warfare. It involves warfare. It is a call to battle. It is a call to warfare. The Bible says from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and it is the violent that take it by force. Who is that person who wants to go to the house of a strong man to take his goods without first binding that strong man? When Jesus Christ gave the mandate, he knew that powers will resist us. That's why he said, "Lo, I am with you." He said, "You will tread on serpents and scorpions." He said, "And over all the powers of the enemy," he said, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." My wife runs a school in Jos, a nasty primary school. One day, one of the boys passed out. And he said, "What's that?" The teacher was scared, so she ran to her. So she came there and laid hands on the boy, and the boy came back. And we sent for his parents, and then we got to know more issues. Oh, actually, when they brought me in, they belong to a cult group. They were the one responsible for donating their mother, the blood of their mother. And their father was the next in line. In fact, the father came to the school. The junior sister to the other one attends a Baptist school. In that place, they don't know what to do with her. So he's been staying at home. So we told him to go and bring that one too to school. We interview these boys. That's why we had better not belittle all these our young ones. Satan, there is a battle for their life. There is a contention for their future, for their destiny. And we must be there, standing in our priestly position to defend them, to contend with those forces. These boys and girl told us amazing thing. One of them, you know, had four snakes, the power they gave him, tied around his neck, and told us all sort of things. So we ministered to the two of them, broke those powers of Satan, those yoke of the enemy, drove out those symbols of darkness over their lives, and set them free. The father's joy knew no bounds. He didn't even know there was a solution anywhere. He had withdrawn the sister to be staying at home. At night, she would lift up her leg like this. I saw some marks on them. They used boiling ring. They used boiling ring to hit them, thinking that is what will take care of the demons inside of them. Boiling ring. I just saw some marks on those small. How can you be using boiling ring? Because they didn't know what to do. That is what they knew right to do. And that's why you shouldn't sit down there and do nothing. Because there are needs out there. But by the power in the name of Jesus, we're able to break that yoke of the devil and set those boys and girls free to live their lives. Meanwhile, their mother was gone. Thank God their father, who was next in line, now said, you better go give your life to Jesus right away. That is the only way where you are safe. If these boys are not able to donate you, one other force we get you. If you're here and you are not in Christ, you are exposed. You are exposed. The only security there is to these ravaging powers of darkness is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous runs into it and they are saved. Amen. If you are outside of Jesus Christ this morning, I invite you to come to Jesus today. To turn your heart over to Him. This world is in the power of the wicked one. The Bible confirms it. The wicked one has been given power over the earth. What gives you victory over him is your relationship to Jesus Christ. And when you are in covenant relationship to God, based on the shed blood at Calvary, you are covered, you are secured. That's why Jesus Christ came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Say, go ye therefore and preach the good news to every creature. Missions is warfare. Like to encourage you to buy a sword for battle. Like to encourage you to step into your priestly position. Your priestly position. And begin to function effectively. There's nothing for us to fear. There is no power of darkness that can overcome the power of the name of Jesus. He said, all authority in heaven, on earth, underneath the earth, has been given to me. We've tried it and we've seen it true. We went for a crusade somewhere. The witches and wizards have frustrated every plan for the gospel to penetrate that place. When a crusade was going to start, they released bees. You know bees? Bees came by those wicked powers. And we began a song. Unfortunately, I wish I know it in Igbo. I know the song in Yoruba. Oh, we began a song. And, you know, you need to go and let God just demonstrate His power. You need to be involved. You know, and it is as you go that the Lord goes with you. Isn't it? Say, confirming the words with signs and wonders. They blocked the road. We cleared the blockage. The bees were busy hovering around, and we stood there. Rain came, the cloud. Those people, they have power. Don't mistake, they have power. But Jesus has the superpower. Amen. The clouds became immediately, it was going to rain. Whatever happens here, we are here by the authority of Him who owns the heavens and the earth. And beloved, a church is standing there because we stood our ground. His church is standing there today. They have hitherto frustrated every attempt. Both every group, missionary or pastor, whatever has gone there, forget. Say no. The heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And where the sole of our feet shall step, shall be given to us for a possession. We engage those forces and the Lord stood with us. He will stand with you as you go for Him. People of God, too much is at stake. The eternal destiny of thousands of people is at stake in your neighborhood. Sickness, accidents, war, terrorism is wasting the lives of people daily. It is time to step up our care for the dying and the perishing. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. Very quickly.
Proverbs 24, verse 11.
Yes.
Rescue those being led away to death.
Rescue those being led away to death.
Hold back those staggering towards slaughter.
Hold back those who are staggering towards slaughter. That is the way many people are living. They are actually staggering towards perdition, towards eventual destruction. We need to intercept them and say, friend, there is more to life than you are experiencing. Jesus Christ said, the thief has not come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that He came that you may have life and have it abundantly. It is possible to experience life in abundance. You want to consider giving Jesus a chance in your heart. Let us rise up to this task. The need is urgent. Yes, go ahead.
If you say, but we knew nothing about this.
If you say that you knew nothing about this, and I hope, hello, let's just hope, wait. If you say that, no, this is not my concern, I beg. I have more important issue to worry about. If you say, go ahead.
But we knew nothing about this.
But we knew nothing about this. Go ahead.
Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it?
Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it?
Does not he who guards your life know it?
The one that guards your life, doesn't he knows it? Doesn't he know that opportunity that is slipping by you where you could have made a difference? He does. He does. Yes, please.
Will he not repay each person according to what he has done?
Will he not pay each person according to what he has done? I want you to know, people of God, God does not use what He does not own. Hello? God does not use what He does not own. God needs to own you before He can use you. The issue with many of our believers is not with accepting the forgiveness that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The issue is with yielding yourself in total submission to God for what He wants to make of your life. Are you following me? There is a need for yieldedness. There is a need to desire what God has ordained for your life. Don't struggle with Him. There is a need for a life of abandoned devotion to Jesus. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Break me and mold me after your will. As I am waiting, yielded and still. May that be your confession today, in Jesus' name. May you allow Jesus to have His way, to break you, to mold you, to make you what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. Oftentimes we struggle. And I plead with you, let God have His way. Amen. Let Him have His way. The commandments of God are not grievous. His thoughts concerning you, they are good thoughts. They are not thoughts to harm you. They are thoughts to bless you, to give you a hope and a future, to make your life worth the while. Amen. So people of God, let God have His way in your life. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We need, therefore, this morning, people of God, to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. There is a demand of heaven upon your life. Daughter, yield your life to me. Son, yield your life to me. It is only a thief who breaks into where he's not been allowed to. And Jesus Christ will not break where there is no welcome for Him. Will you open your heart and welcome the Lord of life to do His work? There is a need for an in-working. And it is when there is an in-working that the out-working will bring glory to God. Many of us, we've not allowed the in-working of the grace of God in our life. We need to be objects of God's grace before we can be vessels of His grace. We need to be recipients of His grace. We need to be recipients of His mercy before we can effectively dispense His mercy and grace to other people. Will you open your life to this morning to receive the mercy of God, to receive the grace of God, that through you, God's mercy can be extended to the nations, to the needy around you? That is the plan of God for you. I pray that you will be willing in the name of Jesus. As we begin to close, I want you to know, people of God, that we need a genuine experience of the power of His resurrection. If you are going to make significant difference In making disciples of all nations, we need a genuine experience of the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. The power of God to destroy the works of the devil, to set the captives free. You see, the gospel is a miracle, and you can't remove the miraculous out of it. Amen. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, went about doing good, delivering all them that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. We need to recover the true import of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just speaking in tongues, but to experience the power of God to be filled. And that has to be an ongoing experience. People of God, this assignment requires that each and every one of us wants our life to count in extending the mercy of God to the nations, in extending the grace of God to the nations, must seek the power of God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, seek the Lord. He says, seek His strength. He says, seek His face forevermore. We need to be people who are seeking the strength of Jesus, the strength of the Lord, and to be clothed with His strength in order to be able to demonstrate. See, the world is not waiting for a new definition of the gospel. They are waiting for a new demonstration of the power of the gospel. Amen. And we need to go. Paul says, my preaching and gospel were not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power and of the Spirit of God. He says that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Encourage us to steer ourselves to take hold on God. Let us cast aside idleness. Let us cast aside lightness of heart. Let us cast aside indulgence of every sort, indifference. Let us cast aside self-indulgence, frivolities and procrastination. And by God's help, put our hearts, our time and our energy into praying, into seeking the power of God. God is more willing to release His power, grace and glory than we need it. But there must be a genuine hunger for it, for His own glory, and the power will come. Hallelujah. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 14, as I close, can we go there? Judges chapter 6, 11 to 14. Can you read, my sister, there?
Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, then that belonged to Joash and Abizreth, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." But sir, Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said,
"Listen to that, please.
Go in the strength you have."
Hallelujah.
"And save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?"
Amen. 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 And that's my word to us this morning as we close this meeting. Go in the strength of the Lord. Gideon had excuses to give. If God be for us, if God had been with us, where are His miracles which our father told us? Why have all this befallen us? Why are we hiding from the Midianites? Why are the Boko Haram, you know, harassing us like this? Have you asked that question? We have been asking. But God said to Gideon, go in this your might. Hallelujah. Am I not sending you? Hallelujah. Am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? May God give you a revelation of who is sending you. Revelation of who is actually behind this commission. Am I not sending you? Hallelujah. Beloved, it is the Lord who is sending us. It's He who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The one who has prevailed to open the books and to loose the seals thereof. It's the worthy Lamb of God who is sending us. Who has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It is He who overcame death and the grave, who collected the keys of hell and of death, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It is He who has all of the authority that is sending us. I want you to go in the confidence of His promise. There is divine insurance as you go. Because He said, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions, Luke 10:19, and over all the powers of the enemy, and He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is divine insurance. You know, we pay money for insurance. Huh? The divine insurance of God is that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. And there is divine assurance that I am with you even to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to announce to us people of God that the authority of Satan over mankind has been terminated. We're not struggling to win a new battle. This is not the call to enlist in the army of God. It's not a plea to support a hopeless pursuit. It is an invitation to join God's conquering army. The army of God that is conquering, that is advancing. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is an invitation to join the army of God and to experience the victory that He has purchased for us. To proclaim that victory over Satan, over sin and the world. Friends, there is amazing opportunity as you go. I therefore call upon you this morning in the name of the Lord to step out in faith. With your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Respond in faith to opportunities around you and let God's name be glorified. Amen. Trust management. Can I have it? Trust management. The gospel and the Christ life we have is a trust. God has called each one of us and the church to manage this trust. It's a trust. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The gospel and the Christ life we have is a trust. And we are to share that life. We are not to keep it just to ourselves. We are to share it. Hallelujah. The next slide. I'm going to sing that. I'd like us to stand together. Can you stand with me? As we sing, trust management. Trust management. God is counting on me. Trust management. Africa is counting on me. Trust management. This generation's counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Can we do that, everybody? Trust management. God is counting on me. Trust management. Africa is counting on me. Trust management. This generation. This generation is counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Next slide. Adam has his trust. He disappointed his God. Samson had his trust. You know he failed the test. Judas had his trust. He never reached the end. On the days of my life, God is counting on me. Trust management. Trust management. God is counting on me. Trust management. Africa is counting on me. Trust management. This generation's counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Next slide. Joseph had his trust. He glorified the Lord. Esther had his trust. She stood tall to the death. The apostles had his trust. They kept it to the end. On the days of my life, God is counting on me. Trust, trust, management. God is counting on me. Trust, management. Africa is counting on me. Trust, management. This generation's counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Next. The road may be rocky and giants on the way. He's holding on and looking to the Lord. His grace is sufficient to see us through the end. All the days of our life, God is counting on us. Trust, trust, management. God is counting on us. Trust, management. Africa is counting on us. Trust, management. This generation's counting on us. On the days of our life, God is counting on us. Next. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Again. All the days of my life,
counting on me.
You recognize that God is counting on you? We have seen those people who manage the trust handed over to them well. And we saw people who disappointed the trust. What is going to be your story? As far as the trust of the gospel is concerned, what is going to be your story? Will you manage this trust faithfully, well? You make God proud that He dared to believe in you. He dared to believe in you and to enlist you in His army. I'd like you to pray for yourself. What do you recognize is standing on your way to responding faithfully to this trust of the gospel? What is that thing? Blessed are those who know their need of God. What is that issue? What is it that is standing to distract you from your faithfulness to this trust? How must God help you? How do you want God to help you? You are in God's presence this morning. The Lord is here and is here to help. He wants you to run this race faithfully. Wants you to manage this trust and not disappoint it. You recommit yourself to God this morning. As far as this trust is concerned, the trust of the gospel handed down to us. The Bible says, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses to the life of faith that we possess. There are people who have gone ahead of us, who are urging us. Don't drop the baton. Carry it. Run the race well. Play well your part. That's what they are saying. Those heroes of faith who have gone ahead of you, they are urging us. Yes, you can overcome. They are telling you, in spite of your failures, there is still hope. There is hope beyond your failure. There is hope, brothers. There is hope, sister. There is hope beyond your failure. With you, say yes to Jesus this morning. Who are those here this morning in church? And you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to submit the government of your heart to Jesus. You have been driving the show. You have been on the driver's seat. He wants to take over that seat. He wants to be the Lord of your life. Are you here in church this morning? You want to surrender to Jesus. I want you to know that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son alone. And it is He who has the Son of God that has eternal life. He stands here this morning beside you with that offer of eternal life. Will you open your heart to Him that you may be a partaker of His eternal life? He has shed His blood that your sins may be washed. Are you here this morning? You want to say yes to Jesus. You want to say yes to Him. I'd like you to please come forward to me here. I want to pray with you. You want to say yes to Jesus? You want to begin a new journey with Him. I want you to just step forward with boldness and courage. Come meet me here. I want to pray with you. I want to touch you. I want to embrace you. I want to pray with you. That is your decision. Please step forward. Step forward for prayer. It is your opportunity to encounter the Lord of life. It is your opportunity to have your sins forgiven, to experience the peace of Jesus. If you are in church this morning and you want to welcome the Lord of life into your heart, step forward here I want to pray for you. Anyone making that decision to proceed straight forward to where I am, God bless you. Please step forward. Step forward. Rest of all, let's just be praying. Please just spend some time to pray. God bless you. Step forward. You are surrendering your life to Jesus today. He sees you. He is here. If you can't stand on your feet, please, you can sit. But please be praying. We are in prayers. We are in prayers. Please be praying. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jehovah. And then following that, we have just, God bless you. Just wait there. We have just sung a song about trust management. We have also considered God's word this morning about your part in the agenda of His kingdom. And you want to renew your pledge to Jesus. As far as this mandate is concerned, as far as your commitment to this mandate is concerned, so that you will not disappoint the trust, so that you will also stand true to the test, so that you will also discharge the trust faithfully. I'd like every such person to lift up your hands where you're standing or sitting. I need to pray with you. You're making a recommitment to Jesus this morning. As this meeting closes, I want you to raise your hands up. I can see you, those hands. Can you please stand? Can you please stand? Can you please stand? Thank you, Jehovah. I have a work to do. I have a work
to do.
I have a work to do.
I have a work to do.
My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
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 My life shall not fail. Amen. Let me see that hands up again. God bless you. Thank you. Can you just put that hands on your head? Just put that hands on your head. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it. You deserve our lives. You deserve our commitment. You deserve it, Lord Jesus. And we give it to you. We give our lives to you. We yield ourselves anew to you. We recommit to this mandate. We recommit our life to it. We recommit our life to it. Thank you, Father. I pray for your sons and daughters who are making a recommitment to this mandate in their respective field of service and even reaching to the ends of the world. We are making a commitment in the place of prayers, a commitment through the gift of their resources, a commitment in sharing the good news of your kingdom. Father God, I pray for them today. Jehovah, Jehovah, behold each one of them. You know where they are at. You know the issues around them. You know, Jehovah God, what has been a distraction. I come against the force of that distraction. Everything that has been a distraction, that has been undermining your commitment to this supreme task of making disciples of all nations, of sharing the good news of Jesus with the lost and perishing around you. Oh, I come against every such distraction. I bring them to judgment today in Jesus' name. I break the powers of those distractions. Whatsoever they be, I exercise authority over such forces and factors. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every such issues to lose their control over your life in Jesus' name. As you have committed, as you have indicated for a recommitment to this mandate, may the burden for harvest rest upon your heart. May the passion for souls consume your heart afresh. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father God Almighty, I pray that you will help your people to take good advantage of the opportunities that you are going to be opening up to them. As they make this recommitment, may they be fruitful. May their fruitfulness increase tremendously to the glory of your name. May they have the joy of seeing lives transformed and won into your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. We worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I pray for these ones in front who have come to yield their life over to you. I want to thank you for them, and I worship you, mighty Father, that you have brought them to a point of consciousness of their need of Jesus as Lord of their lives. Thank you, Jehovah. Lord, I pray that you forgive their sins. I pray that you cleanse them from all unrighteousness. I pray for the power of sonship to be experienced in each of these lives. I pray the joy of salvation to fill your heart. I break the power of Satan. I break the power of sin. I break every yoke of Satan over your life and destiny. I destroy them now in Jesus' name. Set you on course to follow the Lord the remaining days of your life. I set you on course to follow the Lord Jesus the rest days of your life. I set you on course to follow Jesus Christ the rest days of your life. The Lord bless and keep you to the very end in Jesus' name. We are just closing. Please just bow your head as we quietly round up very soon. We're just about closing. I would like one of the ways in which we need to respond is to adopt people groups for prayers. You can sit, please. But please, we're in the mode of prayers. Is to adopt people groups for prayers. Is to focus your commitment on particular groups for effectual intercession. Apart from the next field that this church is going to, that should be announced soon, and prayer should begin for that and by everyone. I want to say that there are people groups that still need a strong influence of the gospel among them. The Kanuri, the Shua Arabs, the Bulewas, and several others, the Kakandas, and several others. I will want to encourage you to take a further step, one step forward, in committing to be praying for a particular people group. We have information and we will send them to you. What I will do is that I will send information to the chaplain in charge by email of people groups, information on them and prayer points. And this will be relayed to you subsequently so that people can express interest in them. That is a necessary step for you to be pouring out your heart in identifying with the coming of the kingdom of God to specific people groups, locally and globally. Your giving must also be, must have a global dimension. You need to resolve to also tie your gifts to God's cause. And if you are, you know, willing to identify with a mission cause here and there, we can facilitate that. We can facilitate that. And I want you to consider each of these. The final one is your commitment to what happens beginning from here outside. And the Lord will uphold you as you live out these commitments to His glory in Jesus' name. As we close this meeting, can you please stand with me? Everybody now, can we all stand together? Just stand with me. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We declare that our generation will serve the Lord. We declare that we will live for Jesus. We will lift high His royal banner. It shall not suffer loss. Father Almighty, I pray that the lives of each and every one of these your servants will count significantly in the fulfillment of the mission mandate of the church to make disciples of all nations. I ask Jehovah God that this whole subject will continue to burn in the hearts of your people. That the Spirit of God will continue to incubate these thoughts, these words in the heart of your people until there is a response, a positive, practical response to it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that the lives of your people will be fruitful in the work of your kingdom. I pray concerning the next outreach of this church, in the community, wherever the teacher will be going to, I pray there will be a bumper harvest in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the outreach committee. I pray many more people we volunteer to join the team and to begin to participate in the extension of the blessing of the redemption to people who are yet to experience it. Lord, thank you for the leadership team of this chapel, of this diocese. Thank you also for His Lordship, the Archbishop of this province. We worship you for each and every one of them, all the pastors that came yesterday and those that couldn't come, who are at the front, forefront of the mission of God through this diocese. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them in their task in the name of Jesus. I pray, Jehovah God, that you will increase your oil upon them. You will increase, Jehovah God, their passion for your glory. And that through them, Jehovah, a mighty army of yours will be raised in each of the parishes to participate actively in the mission of the kingdom of God. Hallowed be your name, Father. I pray for everyone here this morning with a need in each of their lives. Whatsoever that need is there anyone, Jehovah God, that is still here with a sickness in his or her body? I rebuke such sickness in the triumphant name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that I curse that sickness from his root. Bible says, whatsoever God has not planted, it shall be uprooted. I lay the axe of God's word at the root of every such sickness. And I cut it in the name of Jesus. I proclaim your liberty in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. People here, Jehovah God, who need your intervention on several issues ahead of them this week, I pray that we show up for them. I pray, Jehovah God, that the joy of your people will be full. Thank you, Jehovah. God Almighty, those who are struggling with whatever issue, ask that they will mount up with wings as eagle. They will be victorious over every sort of limitations to their lives in Jesus' name. We worship you. Thank you, mighty God. Hallowed be your name. Jesus Christ's name, I pray.